Hi, this is Natalie Lussier, and welcome to Launch It in Profit Module 3, Building Buzz with Your Pre-Launch. So in this module, you're going to learn how to get people excited about your upcoming program before they even know it's coming, why and how to assemble a team of affiliates and ambassadors so you can reach even more people, and then what to include in your free pre-launch content so you can really make it lead into your paid offerings naturally. So let's dive in. So first of all, why pre-launch? Technically, you could just send a few emails once your registration is open for your new program and sell without really doing anything leading up to it. And if it's your first time doing a program, or if you've done this program before, that can be a totally appropriate way to sell. And it's definitely simple and an easy way to tell if people are going to take you up on this offer or not. However, it is not the best way to increase sales. By doing a pre-launch, there's a lot of really amazing side benefits that your business will get. First, it'll build a lot of buzz on social media and online. It'll also help you get known in your industry, so people will see you as, you know, somebody who's doing amazing things online. And it also has that big splash effect where everybody suddenly sees you everywhere. You know, if your affiliates are sharing it, if you're being guest posting a lot or being interviewed a lot, then that really starts to build a momentum of its own, and people see you as a big shot, if you will, in your industry, which is really, really powerful and will help you set yourself apart from your competitors too. There's also some amazing list building benefits to doing a pre-launch. So for example, in my first online business, all about Real Foods Witch and real healthy eating, I went from about 50 people on an email list to 500 during my first pre-launch. And all of that was because of the amazing free content I was sharing, and that got more and more people to opt in. So the other thing is that if you have other products or services, you can expect more sales of those, because some people are always interested in going for your premium offering, or maybe they find out about you through your launch, but they need another piece of your product or your service before they're ready for your programs. So this is a super amazing side benefit. Every time I do a launch, I get more interest for the other products that I also offer and services as well. Plus, it really puts you on the map for your peers and the other people who, you know, might have heard about you before, but now they really see you full out playing big and really making waves in the industry. So that's really, really cool. People will take you more seriously, and they'll also approach you with cool opportunities because of it. Let's talk about getting eyeballs. So we're going to go over how to create awesome free pre-launch content, but all of that is kind of useless if no one's going to see your amazing pre-launch content. So there are definitely strategies to get more people to see your free stuff, and the more that you do these, the more people will be able to see your paid offering as well, because they'll be part of this experience that's leading up to your paid program. One of the most surprising things that I learned early on in business is that you need to market and sell your free stuff just as much as you need to sell your paid stuff. So what do I mean by that? This basically means that if you have something like a free ebook or a free video series or a free MP3, you know, what's going to make people want to sign up for that? You know, just because it's free doesn't mean that it's really free, because time and attention are also very valuable resources, and to get somebody to stop what they're doing, pay attention, and really consume the content that you're giving away for free is, you know, something that's taking some of their time and their attention. So it is a cost to them in that way. So we really need to reward them and entice them. So that means using great copywriting techniques when it comes to talking about your free gift, having enticing graphics that make them look attractive and not just a generic, you know, sign up for this free email or this free email series, because it's a lot more than that. And you really want people to see the value of what you're offering for free, especially because I know you're going to be working hard on this amazing free content. You want people to take you up on it. And that's where building social sharing into your free content really can help you spread your content bigger and wider than you would imagine before. So if you've watched my 30-day list building challenge at all, then you've heard me say that a rising tide lifts all boats. And I've definitely found that to be true. And you can also use that in your own marketing and in your own pre-launch content. So there's a couple of different ways to have people share your free stuff, and I highly recommend including built-in social media sharing buttons on all of your free pre-launch content. So for example, if somebody's watching a video that they like of yours, there'll be a click to tweet and a click to Facebook, and whatever other social media network that you think your people might be hanging out on. So the benefit of that is that if people are enjoying it, they're a lot more likely to click share if they don't have to do a whole lot of work to do it. So make it easy for them to share. The other thing is really consider building in a social element to your pre-launch. So maybe it's asking people to bring in an accountability buddy to use your free material together and keep them accountable. Maybe it's doing a challenge where the whole point is for them to, you know, tag other people and get them involved. Maybe it's doing a contest or a giveaway where the more they share it and spread it, the more likely they are to get prizes or other cool things. So building in that social piece is one of the things that especially us as women can do to really expand our businesses because we understand social dynamics very, very well. So I would say building in this rising tide philosophy into your pre-launch is super, super crucial. Another option that's working really well these days to help people really find out about your opt-in free content is to run more ads. So you might be familiar with Facebook ads or Google AdWords. There's a bunch of different places that you can run ads on today. Once you've got the social sharing built into your pre-launch content, you'll also want to consider adding people to your pre-launch sequence using ads. And there's all kinds of different places where you can run ads today. That can be Facebook ads, they could be Google ads or YouTube ads. There's all kinds of different areas where you can find these people. You can even do direct from blogs that you think would be a great fit. But basically what I would say is find a way for you to start testing a little bit before you invest a ton of money running ads so you can see if your landing pages are converting, if you've got the right audience that's being targeted, and then really think about, you know, getting your existing fans who might be on Facebook or who might be on other social media networks but who might not necessarily all see your email. So you might know this in your own life that you don't open every email that you receive. So actually targeting or retargeting some of your existing fans and followers on social media networks is a great way to make sure everybody knows your launch is happening. Because if they're seeing it on Facebook, then they know, okay, this is happening right now. And that's a really important thing to be doing. So what you'll want to do is set yourself a budget for how much you want to spend on ads, and then based on how many opt-ins you want to reach your sales goals, or you know, if you're reverse engineering those goals that we talked about earlier, you'll know how much you can afford to pay and how much you can afford to budget. Let's talk about affiliates and strategic partners. So affiliates are friends who agree to help you promote your program for a commission. And the industry standard for most online programs is about 50%, but sometimes it can range from as little as 30% to even 100% commission. So let me just talk about why somebody would want to give 100% commission. The good thing about giving 100% commission to your affiliate is that they make a sale for you, they keep all the money of the sale, but then you get somebody who's really interested in your product, and they're also a guaranteed or a proven buyer. So if you have other products that you sell, you're more likely to sell some of those other products to them as long as it's targeted, and you're going to make all the profit from future sales. So that's one way to think about it. But I would say if you're not sure what to offer to affiliates, start in the 50% range because that's more standard. And it's also a nice win-win situation. Somebody brings somebody in who makes a purchase and then they get something out of it too. So I would say that your past customers make amazing affiliates and referral partners because they know your work, they knew you, they trust you, they love you, and they might also be connected to other people just like them. So I always say to start with past customers and affiliates to get more people in the door. And the very first time that you launch, your product is kind of an unproven bet for other affiliates. So I would say if it's your very first launch, getting affiliates is not going to be the easiest thing to do. So That being said, if you have a good track record, if you've sold other things pretty easily and people know you in your industry, you could still go ahead and get a couple of affiliates on board. But just letting you know, some people, you know, if they have other things that they might be promoting around the same time, they're probably not going to go with your program or product because it's not proven yet in the marketplace. So why would you consider having affiliates during your launch? So affiliates really do a couple of things. First, they definitely help you grow your email list, and it's also great because it's like paying for ads, except that you're only paying when somebody buys. So if you're doing ads on Facebook or on Google AdWords, you're paying every time somebody clicks over to your website, and you're not guaranteed that this person is going to opt into your list or that they're going to buy. Now, on the other hand, whenever an affiliate sends an email to their list sending people to your website, you're going to get a percentage who opts in and a percentage who buys, and you only pay for the ones who've bought. So that's kind of cool. It's like you don't have to put in any extra money without knowing that you're going to get a return. I do want to caution you that having affiliates on board is definitely an added complexity. It does add a new technical layer, and you know, depending on what system you're using, it could be built in, it could be something else you have to work on, but it can be very profitable, especially when it's time to relaunch and you already have a proven product sales page and sales funnel. So the other thing too is with that added complexity, you do tend to need to send more emails, you need to keep your affiliates in the loop and really give them everything that they need to promote. One key to making sure that an affiliate program really works for you when you're doing a launch is to really give your referral partners everything that they need to succeed. So what I've noticed is it's definitely an 80-20 trend that 20% of all your affiliates really promote to the full extent, and the other 80% are just not that committed. And there could be a lot of reasons why they're not committed. It could be that they have another promotion, they have something else going on in their business, they could be on vacation, they could be launching their own product, or maybe it's just not a right fit for their audience. So I always like to caution people, even if you have 10 or even 100 affiliates on your list of affiliates, they might not all pull in the same amount of potential clients for you. So that's important when you're doing all of your math and trying to reverse engineer your goals. So what you'll want to do is write as many emails, social media messages, and really give everybody visuals and pictures and badges and things that they can use on social media, on their own site, and really just give them everything that you're using, but also give them resources just for them as affiliates. And also make sure to share with them the calendar and the timeline that your launch is going to be running on so they can put it in their calendar and they can also schedule their promotional dates on social media and on their email list. And I also recommend enticing them to promote with an affiliate contest and great prizes. So for example, for Launch It and Profit, we've done things like offering a spot to speak or be a sponsor at Off the Charts Live. We've done things like a $500 gift card. So really figure out what's going to be the most motivating thing for your affiliates and use that as a motivator to get them to promote a little bit more. Now, if you're not sure what might motivate your potential affiliates, it's time to pull out our good old mediumship exercise. But this time we're going to do it on your strategic partners. So instead of thinking about your ideal customer, think about your ideal strategic partners and affiliates. It's really important when you're approaching them to come at it from a what's in it for them perspective, not just why you want them on board, but why it's going to benefit them, their customers, and their business. So think about a few of the key people who would be good strategic partners and affiliates, and then perform the mediumship exercise with them. So remember, this exercise is all about becoming this person. You don't have to overthink it, you just become them. And again, remember to take notes and then return to being fully you after the exercise. So go ahead and pause the video and do the exercise on your own and then come back to the video. Let's talk about the pre-launch mirror. So this is a technique that I invented that I noticed in the industry was working really well for some people and definitely for me and my clients, and it's called the launch mirror. So what it means is that your pre-launch content should mirror the delivery of your program or your product. So for example, if you're giving away a PDF and your course is a PDF, then it sets people up who consume the free opt-in or the free PDF with the right expectations, and also people who like reading are more likely to want more reading material. And likewise, if you have a video course, you would want to use video as your pre-launch content. So if you've got some live elements in your actual paid course, you probably want to have some live elements leading up to the live course. And you really want to think about this because people who like reading don't want to, you know, suddenly buy something that's video or MP3s. And people who love video and MP3s don't want to be sold something that's written. And I'm not saying that there isn't some overlap. You could totally have a combination. So if your program has written materials and videos and all kinds of things, you probably want to include a little bit of each in your pre-launch content so that people can really consume and get a taste for what it is that you're going to be doing inside the course. So I like to say, don't give a free taste of apples if you're selling oranges. Now I have to ask you a question. Do you like those really long sales pages or not? You probably don't. And the reason is that long sales pages come from the direct mail advertising world, and they were designed to really give somebody everything they needed to know to make a decision to buy or not, because people were actually printing out these letters, mailing them, putting a stamp on them, putting them in snail mail, and people didn't have, you know, a 1-800 number to call or a website to check up on or an email address to email. So they had to have every single objection, every single question, every single possible angle that somebody might think about on that long sales page. So the problem with online sales pages that are super long is that people skip right to the end to see the price. So instead of really reading about the product and the program and why they should figure it out or why they should decide to do it, they just skip over, look at the price, and based on the price, they decide not to buy. And most of the time, because, you know, they get sticker shock or whatever it is for them. So the solution is to actually use your pre-launch content to deliver some of the same information that you'd be delivering in a sales letter, but you do it sideways. And that way they can't skip directly to the price. So what that means is that you include some of the same information, those same objections, those same different angles, but you include them in your pre-launch content, whether they're videos or PDFs, you know, at least people don't have the opportunity to skip straight to the price. There are three main ingredients of a pre-launch. The first one is your story. There's nothing that really puts us at ease as much as listening to somebody telling us a story. And it's really how we relate as human beings. It makes you real and it makes people connect with you at a deeper level that makes them trust you and want to buy something from you. So you'll definitely want to include your story in your pre-launch content, whether it's at the beginning, the middle, or the end. It needs to be included somewhere in there. The second thing is something actionable that gets people results and a real taste of what you're offering. So a lot of times we're tempted to just include this in our pre-launch content. We just want to teach. We just want to do, you know, what we're good at and help people with specific problems and solutions. But the problem with doing just actionable content is that it really sets people up to feel like they're complete. They feel like they have everything they need and they might not necessarily want to buy your full program. So instead, you want to include a combination of this actionable stuff with your story and with social proof. So social proof is the third one. This is essentially testimonials or case studies of past clients and customers who can vouch for your awesomeness. And it's also another way to tell stories. So a lot of times people come up with objectives like, oh, you know, that works for you, Natalie, but it'll never work for me. Or they might say, okay, that's fine, but you've been doing X, Y, and Z for many, many years, and I'm just starting out. So what you want to be able to do is talk about other people who've taken some of your advice or your courses and really show what's possible for them. If you plan to do a survey to your email list, you can actually use your survey as part of your pre-launch sequence. So what that does is it gives people the option and the opportunity to give you feedback and information and to help you co-create your program. So the good thing is that when you ask somebody to be involved from the get-go in the production of your program, it really makes them feel involved. It makes them feel like they're part of something bigger. And then when your program does launch, they're like, yeah, like this was made with my input and I'm gonna buy it. So it's great to be able to ask questions and then build in some of those things that people have asked for into your program. Whether you include it on your sales page or even in your other pre-launch content, that's a great way to involve people and make them feel like they've been part of this and that's why they wanna sign up. When it comes to surveys, I also like to say that how you frame everything really matters. So come at it from a place of service and wanting to solve their problems, and everything else really flows from there. What should you include in each piece of pre-launch content? How much story, how much actionable content, and how many testimonials? So I like to say that the order of what you include in your pre-launch really does matter. So you want to give people a sense of what the opportunity you're talking about is first. So you want to paint them a picture of what's possible at the end of your pre-launch content and also at the end of your paid program. And that's really where you're kind of dangling that carrot and saying, I can help you get this if you keep paying attention to all this great stuff I'm going to be sending you. And then you also want to share a big idea or your marketing hook for this launch. So a lot of times, you know, you have a lot of great ideas and you have a big idea for your course, but how can you use that big idea to separate your pre-launch content from what everybody else is talking about in your industry? So think about a marketing angle or something that somebody might be really, really needing to figure out, and use that as your big idea. And then take people into the teachable stuff, into your story, and into your testimonials. So once you've given that big picture opportunity, of what's possible for them if they go on this journey with you, and then you also share how this is different from everything else in the marketplace, then they're ready to consume anything and almost everything. So you can really talk about your story, you can talk about some actionable stuff, and you can talk about your successful clients. Let's look at an example of free actionable content. So the first thing I need to say is that the more specific you can be and the better headline writer you are, it will make a big difference in the number of people who take you up on your free offer, your free webinar, your PDF, your emails, and all that stuff. So definitely, definitely work on that. Do not leave that to the last minute, especially because it's such a big piece of the puzzle. If you don't have a lot of people who get your free content, you won't have a lot of people who see your paid program. So you want as many people as possible to opt in for your free stuff, because that increases the number of people who will see your paid stuff too. So in this example, I'm starting off with a free PDF or a free opt-in called Breathing Exercise to Reduce Stress. So let's say that our first headline was, get this free breathing exercise to stop stress. So that's fine, but it's very generic, and you might say, okay, whatever, I can find a free breathing exercise on Google for free, I don't need to opt in for that. Or if you're stressed, you might be like, okay, I'll come back to this later. So it's not super motivating. Now, I've come up with something else that's discover how to tap into this often forgotten built-in resource to kiss stress goodbye. Now, that's a little bit more, it's got some curiosity in it. So it's like, what's this often forgotten built-in resource? I don't know what that is. But clearly, it doesn't tell you the punchline, right? So it doesn't tell you that it's a breathing exercise. So it has that curiosity factor. And if people have learned breathing exercises before, the fact that this one is often forgot will give them that option of like, oh, okay, maybe I don't know this one, or maybe I haven't learned this one, or maybe I've forgotten it, which is totally possible. And then also, kiss stress goodbye. That sounds really nice. It actually sounds a little bit better than stopping stress, because, you know, you might be able to stop stress, but it might come back, right? So I think that's a great way to do it. And then if you're not familiar, or if you haven't done a lot of writing of headlines, I would highly recommend going to copyblogger.com/magnetic headlines. There are some great resources there. And of course, we're going to talk about copywriting more later on in this course, but I want you to start thinking about some headline ideas for your pre-launch content. One of the main things that you want your pre-launch content to do is to solve problem solutions. So what that means is that there's always more problem and solutions for your people. So you might think, well, I only have one special technique, or I only have one process that I bring people through. But at each level, somebody will solve a problem and then have another problem show up. So this is often referred to as the PSPSPS. So what that means is that you want them to have their problem solved in your free content, and then open up another problem that happens naturally into your paid program. So I'll give you a couple of examples. So let's say that you're selling a detox program. You can offer a free clean up your fridge program, or a declutter your schedule so you can have time to detox guide. And that actually does help people get ready for a detox. You could also do a guide to buying your first blender or juicer. So now they have the tools. They've solved one of the problems that they might have had before wanting to do a detox, but then they're left with what next? What do I actually do to start detoxing? So that's their next problem. Another example of the PSPS loop is shoes. So let's say, you know, you need shoes to wear. The solution, buy a pair of shoes. The next problem is you need a place to store your shoes. So the solution is a shoe rack. The next problem after that is your shoes need to be maintained. So the next solution might be a shoe polish. And now there's an even funnier, kind of crazier example, and that's the parent company of Alka-Seltzer. They published a free book with spicy food recipes. So the first problem was people wanted something tasty to eat. Now the second problem was people needed Alka-Seltzer to actually digest the food that they were making. So they essentially created the problem that they now have a solution for. So I don't necessarily recommend creating problems for your customers in order to get them to buy more stuff, but I think that there's definitely something to this in that you can solve a problem for them before you have them solve a bigger problem in your paid program. Before and during a launch, engagement is key. So feel free to ask questions and solicit replies, shares, and comments throughout your pre-launch sequence, because that gets people involved and it really gets them to pay attention. And that's really what we want them to do. We want them to feel like they're fully part of this, they're aware of it, they're not missing out on anything, and that's key to getting them to also want to buy. So get people involved by having them do a contest, asking them to submit answers to a leading question, or to join you for a live social media chat. All of those things gets people to slow down enough to pay attention to your message, consume some of your free content, and then keep going deeper with you. So the more you can be there and ask them to be there with you, the better. So that might mean actually, you know, interacting with them via email or doing something live with them and really getting them to be committed as much as you are during your launch. So this is one of the places I see people mess up. So if you hear crickets during this pre-launch phase, then you know you need to amp this up, because this acts as social proof for other people too. And it also acts as a way for people to say whether they're going to buy or not. So if you're hearing absolutely nothing, no comments, no shares, no replies to your emails or anything like that, then you know you might not be on the right track with your offering or with your pre-launch content. So you might need to switch things up, give yourself more time, or just see if, you know, maybe people aren't reacting to specific things you're saying, so you might need to switch up your message. Now, you might be wondering, how many pieces of free pre-launch content should you be doing? So if you have a higher price point offering, I think it makes a lot of sense to give people more of a taste before you ask for the sale. Now, if you don't think that it's going to be a huge price, there isn't a lot of objection to people buying something, so maybe it's a smaller priced ebook, then you don't need to have a three video series. Now, on the other hand, if it's going to be a small ebook that's just $10, you don't need to have, you know, a 2-week pre-launch with all kinds of extra free stuff beforehand. People will buy that $10 book without a whole lot of extra free content beforehand. In my opinion, the most important element to consider are really timing. Will your readers have time to consume the free content that you're sending them? You don't want to be sending so many videos or so much information that it's like a bowl of ice cream that melts before you can get to it. You want them to be able to get everything that they're getting out of it, because here's the thing, if you send them too much content that they can't consume, they will feel full with your pre-launch content that they won't be ready to take you up on a paid offering. They'll be thinking, well, I haven't even finished the free stuff yet. How can I invest in paid stuff? So the other thing too is that you have to think about your sequence. Does it really inspire trust and build excitement? Because that really should be a fun part of your launch. That should be the part where everyone is really excited to be participating. So this is what the curve of your pre-launch and launch should look like. So before your pre-launch, you know, it's pretty quiet, ho-hum, everyday kind of style. And then as each piece of pre-launch content goes live, you want to start building up that anticipation. People will get that feel of something's coming. This is awesome stuff. It's different from regular blog posts. How can we get more? We want to find out more. And you really don't want to open the door before you've built up that excitement, or you'll lose some of that momentum. So it doesn't matter how much people are emailing you or asking to join the course, you don't want to open the shopping cart until you actually open it. Because when that phase where you open up the cart happens, you want the excitement to go all the way through the roof for people to be so pumped and jazzed about what's going on. And then once you close the cart, you'll actually close a little bit of that excitement. It'll kind of go down a little bit. And then after the launch, things will die down again. But you don't want to completely forget about people. You still want to dial it back a little bit. But you also want to ask, you know, if they have questions or get feedback from people who didn't buy your program, just to see if there's anything you could have done differently, or if maybe it wasn't the right product for them, what else would they want from you? You want to make each piece lead to the next one. So you don't want your pre-launch content to feel like it's just a regular blog post or a regular video. You really want each one to feel like it's part of a sequence in a series, and that it builds from one to the next. And then you also want them to refer to each other almost like a mini series. So when you do the second part of your series, you want to say a quick recap of what happened in the first one in case people didn't actually watch. So take a look at how TV shows do that, because it's a very similar sequence that you want to create. And then you can also say, next time we're going to be talking about X, Y, and Z, so that it really gets people on that train to keep watching your content and consuming all the free stuff that you're sending out. So in that first piece of content, whether it's written, MP3 or video, it doesn't really matter, but you want to share the potential for this person. So that's kind of painting that possibility and that transformation and that outcome that people might be looking for, and then also sharing your story of how you got there. So I'm assuming that what you're creating, you have more expertise in, and you probably have your own personal story to talk about that. So I would definitely include that in that first video, because it also helps to position you as the expert. And then in that next piece, whether it's written, video, it doesn't really matter, but you also want to give a problem solution type of content. So again, you can open up with a problem, solve that, and then you can say in the next video, we'll talk about how to solve a new problem that kind of comes after this piece of content. And then when I say action and results content, it's the same thing as problem solution. They're pretty much interchangeable. It just means taking something that they're currently struggling with and then helping them get some results from that. And then the before last piece would be the case study. And that's when you really want to feature and showcase some of your past customers and clients and how they've been able to do amazing things in their lives as a result of your work. And then finally, I like to include a live online event. The benefit of doing a live webinar or a live Google Hangout like this is that you can see if people are excited or not by the comments that they're leaving you. You can see what questions they have about your program. Maybe they're asking about the refund policy. Maybe they're asking about how much time they'll need to do your course or program. Maybe they're asking about whether it's right for them in their lives and where they're at. And those are really important questions to be hearing live, because you can actually update your sales page or your sales materials to really address those for future people. And the other thing too is that if you don't have enough people joining you for your live event, then you know you need to ramp up engagement or build your list a little bit more. So if you've got people who are joining you live, but then they're not signing up when you're offering to get them to your sales page and buy, you know you might need to tweak things a little bit or address their concerns more. If you're not getting any sales while you're doing your live event or your live webinar or Google Hangout, there could be a couple of things that you need to troubleshoot. One, it could be that you're not getting enough people on your live event, on your live call. Like maybe it's a tough time for people to make, or they're thinking they'll just catch the recording, and that's totally cool. But if you're getting enough people to come live with you and you don't know why they're not buying, then it's time to get feedback on your offer and on your sales page before you send it to everybody else on your list. So that's definitely what I would do if I'm hearing crickets on my live call or my live webinar. I would say, okay, what can I retool and change up on this offer so people are kind of running and ready to buy it. And then even if you just get one sale on your live call or live webinar or Google Hangout, that's a good sign. It means you're on the right track. If you're getting even just a couple of sales, you know you have an offer that is totally getting people excited, and it's gonna work as you tell more people to go and check out your sales page via email. So that's really important, in my opinion, is to be able to do at least a couple sales while you're doing your live event. And if you're not making any sales, you know you need to tweak things. Now it's time to lay out all of your free content. So it's time to write down what each piece of free content you plan to roll out is going to be, and also how you want to really lay things out in your pre-launch in terms of your schedule. So look at the examples provided to get a feel for what might work for your program and your offerings, and then come up with a bit of marketing copy around each one, and then get some feedback on it before you put pen to paper or record any of your pre-launch content. So that's it for this module. I know this is a lot, and trust me, this is totally worth it. It's going to get more people finding out about your amazing work in the world, and I can't wait to see how it all comes together for you.